everyone, to another episode of 32 Fans in 32 Days. I am Alexander Chester, and with me, of course, is Akiva Wieneker. And today's special guest is Kyle Appleyard. Kyle is a fan of the 30th-ranked Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Unfortunately, yes, I am. Here I am. Hi, welcome.
thank you for being here. So let's just get started. You know, the Bucs went 2-14 last year.
They
brought in Lovie Smith. They thought that, you know, a 7-game run for Josh McCown the year before would have more predictive value than the entirety of his career.
Let me tell you something about bringing Lovie Smith in. We thought Lovie Smith was going to, like, solve everything. We thought, like, okay, Lovie Smith's here. No more crappy coaches. This isn't like a Raheem Morris. This isn't like a Greg Rutgers-Schiano. This is Lovie Smith. He went to the Super Bowl. Like, this, of course we're going to get better. And yeah, sorry.
Well, look, you know, they went 2-14, but their Pythag was 4.5. So this was a team that was better than they looked. On the other hand, this is a team that really only made one significant change in the offseason. And of course, we know what that change is, and we'll get to it in a second. But before we get into the roster and, you know, and the specifics, tell me, what's your feeling coming into this season? You know, we have them ranked 30th. Where would you have them ranked?
My feeling coming into the season is apathy. At this point, it's just like, fuck it, who cares? Like, it's like, I sent a tweet out the other day that's like, oh god, training camp's here, soon it's gonna be preseason, and before you know it, the Bucks will be 0-3 and we'll be trying to fire somebody. Like, that's basically how the last three seasons have gone. It's like, big promises, like, oh, this is gonna be the one, you know, and then nothing is delivered. So at this point, I'm kinda like, let's just see what happens. Like, I understand that we made some improvements in the offseason. We went out and did some things that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later. But at this point, it's like, it's kind of like, you show me something, you show me the improvement, I'm just going to kind of keep my excitement level at a minimum. It kind of sucks to say, but I mean, it's kind of where I am as a fan. I know a lot of other fans are getting a little excited, but me personally, it's kind of like, I need you to show me something before I'm going to get excited.
Well, since we're talking about last year still, the game that really stands out on their schedule was the Week 3, the Thursday night game, where they lost 56-14 to the, you know, atrocious Falcons team.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, like, that's got to be like one of the 10 worst moments of your life, no?
I can think of at least 5 worse Bucks games than that, to be honest with you, as a Bucks fan. I mean, I can bring back to you the Simeon Rice leaping call of the Colts' epic comeback on Monday Night Football. I can harken back to perhaps the missed extra point after a amazing Brad Johnson to Keenan McCardell touchdown. It's just more of the same, to be honest. At least at least it wasn't a heartbreaking loss. At least it wasn't close. You know, when
what about I'm a Jets fan. What about Curtis Martin throwing the touchdown to Wayne Corbett and then in the Keyshawn game and then all stuff fumbling?
No. Even worse, what about Vinny Testa already coming back and just beating us, coming off the couch to beat us? I think I want to say that was against the Jets. It was either with the Jets or the Panthers.
But, no, I think he was on the Panthers. It blends together at this point.
Well, you know what? Look, Kyle, things could be worse. Tomorrow we're interviewing the guy from the Raiders, and he hasn't had a good moment since you beat him in the Super Bowl 13
years
ago.
That's true. That's the only thing that we can cling to is like, yeah, okay, we had that Super Bowl, and you know, at least we're not the Raiders.
Yep. All right. So let's take a look at again. There's one massive change in the offseason, of course, and that is, you know, out with McCown and in with famous Jameis Winston. So tell us how you're feeling about him, both on the field, off the field. How do you feel with him as your new quarterback?
Strictly on the field, I'm very optimistic. I think that Jameis was the best quarterback in this draft. I think that he's the more pro-ready quarterback. I mean, I know that's kind of like an ESPN buzz term, but you know, he's the guy that ran the more pro style offense at FSU. He's a guy that's a proven winner, and he's a guy that I think can at least is an above average upgrade from Josh McCown. So I'm very optimistic about him coming into the season being the number one quarterback, which he will be.
On the other hand, you know, against the mediocre ACC schedule last year, he threw a ton of interceptions.
He threw so many, but he's like he's the gunslinger type. I mean, he's just going to go out there and take chances and sling it around, and you know, I'm sure he'll throw a ton. He'll throw his share of interceptions this year.
Where would you put the over under on his interceptions this season? Assuming he plays 16 games.
I'll go relatively conservative. I'll go with 12.
Wow. Yeah, if he throws 12 interceptions, you guys are going to be in the playoffs. Right? I told you I'm going conservative here. All pro.
Yeah.
He will have 12 interceptions by Halloween, unless he's injured.
We'll see.
Wow, that is some confidence in Jameis Winston.
Hey, Dirk Cutter's coming in this season, and if you look at the way that the Atlanta Falcons offense, and specifically Matt Ryan, improved under Dirk Cutter, I think it's not a stretch. Well, it is a far stretch to say 12 interceptions, but still, you know, fuck it.
All right, well, you know, so let's, you know, one thing that the Bucs do have for Winston is they have a lot of talent on the outside.
Okay.
You have a couple of star receivers, although, you know, when I look at Mike Evans, the one hesitation I have, and maybe this isn't fair, but especially as a guy who's, you know, plays fantasy football, is I remember some other Michael Clayton and Mike Williams. And, you know, so the Bucs have had a lot of these receivers who sort of, you know, burst onto the scene as rookies and look really good. And then, in fact, not just receivers. If we're talking about, you know, star rookie skill position guys,
yeah,
like Doug Martin
yeah,
in 2013 was incredible. And he fell off a cliff and totally disappeared last year. So, you know, talk a little bit about Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson as well and the development that you think that they're going to provide for Winston in the offense.
I think that what you have in Mike Evans that you didn't have in a Mike Williams or a Michael Clayton is the guy is Vincent Jackson himself. I mean, he's the kind of guy that's going to take the attention away a little bit from a Mike Evans, because when you look at Michael Clayton, okay, we didn't really have anybody else back then, and the same with Mike Williams. We had Mike Williams and the guy that went to the Eagles, Aurelius Ben, and maybe a couple other guys. But we have Vincent Jackson opposite of Mike Evans, and I think that's going to take a little bit of the pressure off of him in his second year. It's going to certainly at least, you know, people are going to key on Mike Evans this year, especially after the year he had last year. And I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a little bit of a slump, but I certainly don't think it's going to be the way it was for a Michael Clayton or a Mike Williams.
All right.
You don't really have – like, you do have the two stud receivers, but there's not – you know, you're pretty mediocre in the tight end department. And do you see a third receiver emerging behind Evans and Jackson? Because I don't really, you know, have a name jumping out at me here looking at the depth chart.
Well, we got this Kenny Bell kid that we drafted, and I'm hearing good things about him in camp. Austin Spurrier Jenkins was a guy that we kind of took high in the draft, and there was a lot of buzz around him last year, and he kind of disappointed, and he's still kind of making mistakes in training camp. And we went and got Tim Wright back from the Patriots. And that's a guy who I'm actually very excited about, because I think he's been consistently underrated as a tight end in the NFL. He put up some good numbers with the Buccaneers. He put up some good numbers with Tom Brady and the Patriots. And I think that he could potentially be a fantasy sleeper at tight end. I'm big on Tim Wright.
So that Logan Mankins trade worked out for you then, because you ended up with both of them the next year, so.
Yeah, it ended up working out for us well.
Better than the Revis trade.
I bet way better than
that. We also got both.
Yeah.
So the running back situation is super weird. Can you sort of key us in, like, up to the moment, what, like, right now, today, who's the starting running back?
I have no idea. You have Doug Martin. You have Charles Sims. You have Bobby Rainey. You have any manner of running back in the backfield. I can tell you that Doug Martin has been getting the first team reps at running back. And he's looking good and, you know, running around in underwear. But I would say that I would expect Doug Martin to be the number one starter coming out in the regular season. Maybe Charles Sims back there too as maybe like a third down or like a spell for Martin. But I think Martin's going to get most of the snaps at starting running back this year.
I think anyone who plays fantasy, especially in a deeper league, could tell you, like, you know, they were eyeing all these guys when Martin went down. And they really had opportunities and didn't really do anything with it, Sims and Rainey.
Yeah. Rainey's a tough nut to crack. You know, it's like he has these games where he goes crazy. But then there's these games where you don't know what to do with the kid. It seems like he's never played. It's, you know, Charles Sims as well. Charles Sims, he was injured last year, and he came back a little bit late. I can't recall exactly
week
when 10, he came
week
back.
11, like
week
that,
10, week 11, yeah. And he had some flashes as well. But I think the clear-cut starter, once we get through the preseason, is going to be Doug Martin.
All right, well, let's talk, you know, staying on the offense for a second. You took a couple of offensive linemen in the second round. You know, as we said, you had Logan Mankins, who was pretty good last year, and also they had Dietrich Smith from the Packers, who was pretty good last year. So it looks like the offensive line should be should be, you know, solid. And if the second round picks either can become, I think they want to start Donovan Smith. Is that right?
Right. It's looking like that. He's getting most of the reps there on the first team. And then we also drafted Ali Marpet from, I don't know, Bumblefuck University.
I think Hobart, if I remember.
Hobart University, yeah.
I'm not trying to be offensive. Isn't Hobart a school for the deaf?
I'm not sure. It could be.
Isn't that Gallaudet or something? Or
they have to tap him on the thigh when the ball snapped. It's this whole thing.
Yeah, I gotta be wrong about that. it's
looking like Donovan Smith's going to start, and perhaps Garrett Gilkey is going to start as well at your guard positions. And then
that's bad news, right? Gilkey stinks, no?
Oh yeah. Well, apparently this year there's a new and improved Gilkey. You know, whether it remains to be seen whether or not you know, the story in training camp, like, oh, so-and-so showed up. He's looking great. And, you know,
that's called steroids usually.
No, yeah, that's called every single player in every single preseason, actually.
Well, this season for us, it was Logan Mankins. The big story was Logan Mankins came in. He wanted to become a leader of the offensive line. He wanted to really bring the offensive line together and make it a cohesive unit. And this is a little story. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but Logan Mankins was having – the offensive line run gassers every time that they made a mistake at the offensive line. So if they get a false start or if they get some kind of a penalty, you're running gassers. So Logan Mankins is running these gassers, and all of a sudden he hears these footsteps behind him. And it's not a big lumbering offensive line footsteps. It's these light fleet of footsteps. Looks behind him, and there's Jameis Winston running gassers with him. Jameis Winston looks at him and says, "We a team now."
Wow.
So.
I gotta say, they're not that fleet of foot if it's Winston.
Well, I mean, compared to an offensive lineman, I see.
All right, so, you know, we're looking at improvements at the quarterback position, hopefully, and at the offensive line. But the Bucs didn't do much on the defensive side of the ball, other than, you know, hopefully a healthier Gerald McCoy. So this was a defense. It might have been slightly better than the offense last year, but, you know, this was the 25th ranked defense. They left a lot to be desired. So what reason do you have to see an improvement on the defensive side this season?
So here's the thing. Prior to Lovie Smith, we were running the classic 3-4 defense with the four down linemen, three linebackers. You had Levante David, who was responsible for stopping the run. You had safeties down in the box. I think specifically like the Sean Goldson and Mark Barron were brought in to be that sort of big, hard-hitting safety. Basically, what I'm getting at is that our defense over the last few years before Lovie got in was set up to play a more hardcore, grittier style defense, like a tougher defense. Lovie gets here and installs the quote-unquote Tampa 2 that relies on faster, smaller defenders with the players that we have now. It kind of didn't work last year. And from what I'm hearing from the likes of Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, the guys who are constantly on our local radio, they're telling us that, look, guys, it's going to take time for the defense to actually learn the scheme. And you kind of saw them coming around late in the season. You've got the three technique there with Gerald McCoy. You've got the rangy linebacker there with Levante David. But last year what we had was Mason Foster in the middle, who was a brick on his feet as far as covering the seam, which is a huge part of the Tampa 2. I mean, you know, when you're playing in the NFC South with the likes of Jimmy Graham and Carolina's tight end. Who's that guy?
Greg Olson.
Yeah, when you're playing the likes of them in the NFC South, you need a middle linebacker who can cover that seam, especially if you're playing the Tampa 2. So we didn't have that last year, but we would go out and we get a Bruce Carter that can cover that seam. We go out and we get a couple of pieces on the defensive line that we think can help us. I think it's Melton from the Bears. And I think that you'll see an improvement on this defense more than the offense. You'll see the defense kind of pick it up. I think that they the second year of it in the Tampa 2, they're going to learn a lot more. They're going to be a little bit better. They're going to be able to play faster, which is a key for the Tampa 2. And I'm excited about the improvements on the defensive side. That being said, I think we have major holes with our starting safeties. We picked up Chris Conte. We got rid of Deshaun Goldson. We no longer have Mark Barron in the backfield. Our defensive line, as always, you know, you have Gerald McCoy, then you work out from there. I mean, we have Jacquees Smith who showed a lot of promise last year. But as a whole, I think our defensive line leaves a lot to be desired.
I gotta say, I see a lot of Bears games. As a fan of the Vikings, Chris Conte is not a good football player. So
no, he's not.
If he's starting,
I'm not excited.
Do you know that linebacker they drafted out of LSU? Is he starting?
Quan Alexander, from what I hear, no. Quan Alexander's been getting second team reps. It's been mostly been Danny Lansava, Bruce Carter, and
Levante David.
David. Oh, how can I forget?
Best player on your team.
Okay. Just the guy. The guy that's on the fucking side of the stadium. It's been those three the entire time in training camp thus far. Whether or not Quan Alexander can win the job, I don't think that he will. It'll be a surprise if he does. I think kind of Bruce Carter was brought in to fill that role, and Danny Lansava played well last year in his position. So I don't see Quan Alexander breaking the starting lineup just yet. But I would see him as like a rotational guy, perhaps like in nickel or dime packages, something like that.
I think Levante David needs a better agent, because like if Bucks fans are forgetting his name, I'm sure that was just a brain fart. I'm just teasing,
but it was a brain fart. Trust me.
If he played in a bigger market, he would have like TV commercials. Like he's that.
Oh, sure. Or if we made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. If you guys are good, he's gonna become like there's really like whatever the opposite of a golden era is for linebackers right now, kind of, especially non sort of like super pass rushing outside linebackers. So, he could really become like, especially with Patrick Willis gone, like one of the sort of like linebacking phases of the league.
I think he struggled a little bit last year adjusting to the Tampa too, but I look to him to have a big year this year.
I think, you know, the biggest issue, and again, I'm not a fan, so I don't know the roster as well as you do, but when you look at the Bucs defense, they have some, you know, big name legit Pro Bowl talent guys like Gerald McCoy and Levante David and Werner in the backfield, but then they don't have that depth. They don't have, you know, they don't have a bunch of rotation guys who you have confidence in, who are, you know, gonna shut down Drew Brees or Cam Newton or whoever it is when they're driving in the fourth quarter when you're trying to keep the game close. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we brought in Sterling Moore this offseason, and then the guy, I think DJ Wilson, blew his fingers off, and he retired from football.
Yeah, by the way, that story totally ignored because...
yeah, but, because it's the Bucks.
Well, but also...
Well, because JPP is such a bigger deal.
Yeah, because JPP is a bigger name and also blew his fingers off the same day in Florida. But, yeah, I mean, JPP might still play, but the guy in the Bucks, his career's over.
That's true. But I'll contend if they found out that Josh McCown was deflating balls and, you know, Lovie Smith was behind it or something, they'd be like, who cares? You're the Bucs.
No, nobody would care. It would be who was pumping it in the noise? I think it was Atlanta, right?
Yeah, they got some kind of
suspension. No one cared.
No one cared.
They lost like $50.
Yeah. But if it was New England, it'd be this whole to-do on ESPN and outside the line, and Dan Patrick would do this big story anyways, and we're going to something else here.
Are you based in Tampa?
Yes, I am.
So you're a born and bred Bucks fan?
He's not a front runner Bucks fan. Those Bucks fans in the 70s were just flocking. Everyone's bad.
Well, the Bucks had that one. They had the 0-14 season, but then they had that one season in the 70s, like 79, I think, when they were decent. They made the playoffs, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, it was under Rich McKay with. Yeah.
And then things took a deep swoon. You know, again, I was a Vikings fan, so Tampa was always, back when they were in the NFC Central, you know, they were the dregs. But the positive side is you're in the worst division in football. You're looking at the schedule. This is an easy schedule. You don't play a playoff team. I'm looking here, and again, I'm not including Carolina because you got to be a 500 team at least to be a playoff team, in my opinion. You don't play a real playoff team until Week 10 when you play the Cowboys at home. So, you know, I don't know if you follow Bill Barnwell on Grantland, but last year he was very high looking at statistical analyses on the Bucks going into the season, and that obviously backfired. And he just re-upped. He just wrote an article this week saying he's going at it again. He's high on Tampa for, you know, a number of these reasons. As I said, their Pythagorean was 4.5 wins last year, which is 2.5 better than they actually were. They have that really easy schedule. They have hopefully a massive improvement under center. So, you know, it's funny because, especially as Akiba was saying, we've started we're doing our rankings in inverse order. So we're interviewing guys from all the worst teams in the league, and we're hearing about how they're going to be 8-8, how they're going to be 9-7, how they're going to sneak into the playoffs. And Akiba and I are sort of laughing about it. And this Tampa team, I'm actually a little more confident about them than I am about a lot of the other ones. I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but if you can win 6 or 7 games in the NFC South, you know, it's not impossible that you can be in the playoff race into December.
Sure. I actually read that Bill Barnwell article, and I mean, it's kind of easy to say that we're going to be better next year, because from going to the first overall pick, I think it's kind of a given that you should do better, and for all intents and purposes, we will do better. How much better remains to be seen. I think our ceiling, our absolute ceiling, best case scenario, everything goes right, fire on all cylinders, is 8-8. And that I'd be ecstatic with that. I'd be running down the streets with and screaming at the top of my lungs if we hit 8-8. I don't see that happening. However, I like to kind of mitigate my my expectations. I know I kind of set the bar high there with 12 interceptions for Jameis, but
all right, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we run through their schedule quickly, and you tell us where you see those wins coming, and we'll see how many you can cobble together.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, just before we do this, we didn't really touch on Lovie too much. How much on the hot seat do you think Lovie Smith is? Like, if they start 0-3, people are going to be calling for him to get fired, right?
I mean, this is Tampa, so yeah, of course, people are going to. I mean, it's going to be they're going to have billboards up. You know, every local media talent is going to be on the airwaves saying, "Oh, we got to get this guy out of here." Me personally, I think you got to give somebody a chance. I mean, you can't just go 2 years on a head coach and then fire him immediately. I think I'd like to see Lovie get 3 years.
They gave Shiano 2 years, right?
They gave Shiano, 2 years.
And what did Raheem get?
Raheem got 2 years as well, I believe.
Well, no, because he had that unsustainable 10-6 season where he said, all I care about is the wins, and, you know, and then they regressed the next year. They fired him.
Right, the younger season.
I think that 10-6 season ended up – it was his worst enemy because it raised expectations unfairly.
Yeah, and again, in that season we had – one of the easiest schedules we ever had, and you read that article. We only beat one team that had a winning record that year. So,
and of course, he had Josh Freeman, who looked like a budding Pro Bowl quarterback when he was 22 and 23, and all of a sudden, Shiano came to town.
Times were so good. Times were so good back
then. All right, fine. So let's talk the schedule. And you have not only do you have 6 games in the NFC South, but you also have 4 games in the AFC South. So I don't think it's a difficult schedule at all. You guys open up hosting the Titans.
I'd say Titans at home, Mariota versus Jameis. I'm gonna say that we open strong with a win. I think I might have called a loss on that prior, but I'll change it over to a win.
I don't know. The Titans guy told us something much different.
I'm sure he did. And then
you visit Drew Brees and the Saints.
That's a loss.
Although the even when the Saints were good in the last few years, it always felt like the Bucs played them close.
We do play them well, but they usually end up coming out on top.
Yeah, they end up beating you like 15-13 or 24-22 or something. But
usually, yeah.
So one of the problems with being a Bucs fan, I imagine. First of all, every NFC South game is like an unwatchable, like 20-17. You have no idea who's going to win. It's usually the home team type game.
Yep.
But you also get these like seventh tier Fox announcers for every single game.
Oh yeah, we had Brady Quinn. I'm like,
really?
Brady Quinn. Did you know he was doing color analysis for games? Brady fucking Quinn. The craziness. Like I've told my, I got a buddy who's a Packers fan, and I'm like, yeah, Brady Quinn was on our games. He's like, who? What?
I had I'm a lawyer, and I took a sports law class in law school, and Brady Quinn came to our class, and he was throwing all kinds of shade at the Manning brothers, actually. And he was and it was funny because, as you said, he's Brady fucking Quinn, and I think he actually had a boot on his leg at the time. And he was just slinging it about Eli and Peyton, so he's not afraid to share his opinions. I'll leave it at that, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome. I kind of wish I was like a fly on the wall of that to just hear Brady Quinn talk mad shit about Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
All right, so you're. You're 1-1, and then they go to Houston.
That's again that defensive line, especially if Javon Cloud is going to be playing, but just J.J. Watt wreaking havoc on our offensive line, which at that point will not have gelled at all, and perhaps may have even switched out a starter or two. That's going to be a loss.
Will there be a worse? Sorry, go ahead, Akima.
You don't think that Hobert College? You know they were playing against like Brandeis and Yeshiva. You don't think that's gonna. That's going to prepare Ali Marpet for J.J. Watt?
I don't know. My hunch says not at all, not even close. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Will the Bucs have will Jameis Winston have a worse GIF this year than he did, of course, the famous one he had last year for FSU?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's going to be throwing the ball around like crazy. Like I said, I gave a wildly conservative interception total at the beginning of the podcast, but still I think he's going to throw it around a hell of a lot. So yeah, perhaps you might see a crazier animated GIF.
And then you guys host the two 1995 expansion teams, the Panthers and the Jaguars.
Yeah, two home games in a row. I think that we will win one of those. If I had to guess, it'd be against the Panthers because we usually play the Panthers well. And then Jacksonville being the team you would expect to beat, being the team that defeats us, because that's just the Buccaneer way.
Is that a rivalry at all, Tampa-Jacksonville?
Not at all. No, not.
Who is the Bucks' biggest rival?
I'd say it's either the Panthers or back in the day it was Philadelphia. Even
Philadelphia. Are they aware that the Bucks exist?
I don't think so.
I think they are. When we close down the Vet and open up the link, both with shutout loss, close the Vet down with a playoff loss in the NFC Championship after they'd beaten us the prior 2 years. Yeah, that was a thing.
Wasn't that 12-7 game?
Yeah. What's that?
What was it, the NFC Championship? It was 12-7? Wasn't that the final score?
No, the NFC 11-6. Championship.
Oh, no, no, no. That was the Rams. That was the Rams.
This was like 26-to something like that. And then 2007, Matt Bryant hit a 60-yard field goal to beat the Eagles in overtime, like third longest field goal kick in NFL history. So yeah, there's definitely like a rivalry there between the Bucks and the Eagles. It's kind of died down in recent years.
All right, so you're 2-3. You go into the bye week and you come out. You travel to Washington, to our nation's capital. What happens?
We're gonna beat them. We destroyed them last year, so I think that's gonna be a joke of a team, Washington Redskins.
You're up to 500 as you exit October. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's optimistic. I mean, hey, that's what drafting a number one overall quarterback does, I guess.
And then you go to Atlanta.
That'll be a loss.
Okay, so 3-4, and then you host the Giants.
Yeah, that's going to be a sea of blue in Raymond James Stadium, and we'll also see a loss for that one.
Well, you know, I got to say, Kyle, I think part of the reason why the Bucks went 0-8 at home last year is because if Bud Light isn't lying to me, they'll build one of those pirate ships in your backyard, so there's no reason to even go out to the stadium.
Exactly. Every home game, they were in my fucking backyard building a pirate ship. It was a pain in the ass. You know, they don't take it down. They don't tell you that in the commercial. They don't take it down.
And Warren Sapp's back there also.
Yeah, he's back there the whole day.
And you might want to be careful. Yeah, if you have people, you know, he's given some of his off-the-field issues lately.
Yeah.
You want to be careful when your mom or your sister comes to visit.
We had to keep the ladies away.
Do you go to the Bucks games?
I do. I went last year. I went to the season opener, and I had an opportunity to go to another game, but I was like, yeah, you know what? I got an HDTV. I'll watch it at home.
Would you say, like, obviously when they're 2-14, nobody has a home field advantage, but do they have sort of the Florida apathy thing going for them, or
they have a
home field advantage?
Absolutely. Yeah. The whole Florida heat thing, that's a real deal thing. I mean, even being in the stands, you get tunnel vision if you stand up too fast because it's so hot. Back in the day, you know, back when we were the 2000 Buccaneers and we had the number one defenses consistently, you know, the fan support was off the charts. We were just, you know, it was, I think we were consistently rated the best playing turf in the NFL. We had, we had a 20-something thousand fan waiting list. Or I think it even around the Super Bowl, it might even hit like 50,000 or something like that. But now it's kind of like apathetic. The mood in general is apathetic. And so like our home field advantage comes 100% from just it's really, really hot down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so is that 3-5? You had them losing to Atlanta and losing to the Giants?
Oh, yeah. I think these next few games, I would like to say that we get one of the next few, but it's going to be tough. I mean,
it's weird.
The Giants.
You play the NFC East 4 times in 5 weeks.
And then the Indianapolis Andrew Luck Colts NFC or the AFC they were in the AFC Championship last year and but those are all going to be tough games. I'd like to say that we steal one, but I don't see it happening. I think this is going to be one of those stretches where radio folks are going to start calling for Lovie Smith.
So Cowboys, Eagles, Colts, they're all losses.
I say Cowboys. I did this on my own podcast. I called the schedule, and now I kind of wish I would have wrote it down or something because I felt like
Well, you can change your mind also.
Yeah, I could change my mind. I'm going to say the Giants going to be a loss. Cowboys likely going to be a loss. Eagles, maybe we come out with a win with the Philadelphia Eagles. We always seem to play them well.
That's your big rival, so.
Yeah, it's our big rival. It's, well, you know, if it was 2003, but yeah, I'd say maybe we'll steal one against Philadelphia, you know.
And then the Colts you have as a loss?
The Colts I have as a loss for sure.
All right, so that's 4-7. Then the schedule opens up.
Wait, hold on, Akeem. We're giving him a win in Philly?
Yeah, we'll give him a win in Philly.
Give me a win in Philly. I'll take that. Yeah,
schedule really opens up.
Because you start playing your own division.
4-7, Lovie actually might get fired, right there.
There'll be talk.
And then they host the Falcons.
That's gonna. I'm gonna say that that'll be a win. We play the Falcons well at home. We play the Falcons well. Usually, last year was the exception, but we usually play them pretty well. So I think that's gonna be a win.
It's weird. You guys are in such a bad division, but there's no easy game against the quarterbacks. Like you really have, you know, Ryan, Newton, and Breeze. Like every game is really annoying.
Yeah, but we do have Ryan's old offensive coordinator, so maybe, I don't know, maybe some magic will happen, and he gives away some secrets that Ryan does.
That's how he won the Super Bowl in 2002, right? So.
Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
That's Buck's specialty, stealing other team's secrets.
I have the
–
guys,
like you said, you guys are the Patriots, but nobody cares about you.
Exactly. I have the DVD where John Gruden is, like, playing Rich Gannon in the lead-up to the Super Bowl in the practices. It's craziness.
Yeah, it's really one of the most – again, because nobody cares about the Bucks, like one of the most underreported stories ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brad Johnson came out and said, hey, I did alter the footballs before the Super Bowl. And there was like, well, it's the Bucks.
It's like, are you Brad Johnson or Rob Johnson? We don't even remember.
Yeah.
And then, you're 5-7, you host the Saints.
We host the Saints. I will say, with the Falcons and the Saints, one of those will be a win, one of those will be a loss. So with us winning the Falcons game, I think we'll lose the Saints game. Saints sweep us this year.
You know what, though? Even with the loss there, 5-8, I think you still have a chance at winning that division, possibly.
Oh, probably, boy. Yeah.
So a big game that next week, the first time a lot of people will be seeing the Bucks all year because it's your only national game. I mean, unless you guys are decent and that the Cowboys game gets some – you know, or maybe the Giants the week before at 4 o'clock. But like, it's very possible that nobody sees, you know, people are talking about Tampa Bay, Tennessee, but that game is only, I mean, obviously nowadays people have DirecTV and the NFL right. package, but people who watch at home, you're not getting that Tampa Bay or Tennessee game unless you're in Tampa Bay or Tennessee.
Right.
So, what were you saying?
We're going up to the St. Louis to play the Rams. The St. Louis Rams are like my sleeper team this year. I think the Rams are destined for greatness very soon. I think they could be playoff bound this year. It's all contingent on their quarterback play. To me personally, I think that's going to be a slaughter. They're going to kill us, especially with their defensive line with how good it is. I mean, they beat us last year. And with some guy starting at quarterback, I don't even remember who, but I think now the Rams it'll probably be a murder on Thursday Night Football, another murder of us.
So then after Christmas, it's Lovey's Revenge back home against the Bears.
Lovey's Revenge at the Bears, yeah. The Bears are home. Here, yeah.
Yeah, the Bears
are here. Yeah, so they beat us last year. So now they come into Lovey's house, and you know what? I'm gonna you know throw it on the table. I'm gonna say we're gonna win that game. I'm gonna say Lovey's gonna get his redemption, and
he's gonna get carried off the field.
He's gonna be carried off the field, Rudy style. They're gonna chant his name in the stands. It's never to return.
Well, hold on. If you're 6-9, and then you're playing Carolina in Week 17, now we've said you've been swept.
That
by
could
New
be
Orleans.
For the division. The
well,
7-8
so
Panther.
Look, if you've been swept by New Orleans, you obviously you're losing the tiebreaker there. But you know, we don't. Given what happened last year in this division, it's not impossible. Yeah, you're going to Carolina, Week 17, on the road, a possible chance of a playoff spot. Who knows what happens?
I see it being a very close game. I see, it's going to go down as it usually does to maybe a 2 minute drive here, and I'm going to say I could flip a coin on this game to be honest, but I'm going to just say. Because I'm on this podcast, I'm a Bucks fan, and other people from other teams are going to hear it. I'm going to say we're going to win that game. We're going to win it.
There you go. The 7-9 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow. 7-9.
Increasing their
wins. Does Lovey keep his job at 7-9?
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure
Absolutely.
He does, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, I always get nervous when coaches, like, campaign for a new job. It's usually, like a sad, like, I'm past my prime type of thing. And Lovey really campaigned hard with the media for a new job.
Oh, man, let me tell you. They did this whole write-up, like... it was like this long form news essay, Lovie Smith, the first 100 days, and they wrote this whole love letter to Lovie Smith on the Buccaneers homepage. I was just like, come on guys, really? Like it's a guy, you know. Maybe he might do better, but you know, we kind
of. Yeah, I think sometimes if people like you, like I feel like people really like him personally, and the players probably like him.
Right.
You know, it masks the fact that like you know he's probably good in the interviews and he's probably good with the owner. The fact that like you know. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have – like, he's definitely a B, but maybe he doesn't have it. I don't know.
Yeah, it always annoys me, though. Like, you guys have Leslie Frazier now as your D coordinator, don't you?
Yes.
And I'm a Vikings fan, and when he was the coach, what everybody said about him was, oh, he's a nice guy and everybody likes him. And to me, that's like saying about, you know, a friend's significant other, oh, well, you know, she has a great personality. It's a I just feel like when you're an NFL coach and they're talking about how nice you are, it's sort of a code. So, you know, yeah. for lack of ability in other more relevant facets of the game.
Absolutely. It's like when they call like a with the league, they're like, oh yeah, he's a real gym rat, real cerebral guy, you know.
What about scrappy? Like if they call a baseball player like gritty or scrappy?
Yeah, he's gritty and scrappy, yeah. Like Sam Fold. Like I'm a Rays fan, so like they always call Sam Fold. Sam Fold is a scrappy guy.
All right, so there we have it. The Bucks are going to finish 7-9, a big improvement. You know, they might stay in the divisional race into December. We'll have to wait and see. Thank you so much to Kyle Appleyard, our Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. You're on Twitter at KyleWoTB, is that right?
Yeah, it's KyleWOTB. And you mind if I plug a couple things, actually?
Sure, go ahead.
I have my own podcast. It's called Word of the Bay. You can listen to me give my takes on Tampa sports, Bucks, Rays, Lightning, all manner of Tampa sports. And also, on August 27th, I have a fictional film noir podcast that is premiering. It's having its season 2 premiere, and you can listen to that. It's called Doppel Avenue Hurt. And you can go to sharkdropper.com, and you can check out all of the podcasts that I am involved with. But most importantly, August 26th, listen to Doppel Avenue Hurt. I play a detective. It's pretty funny. So
there we go.
There's that.
Fictional film noir podcast.
Fictional film noir podcast. Tell me if you're ever going to get another guy on your podcast that has a fictional film noir podcast.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure. Like Raiders fans couldn't spell that, so to rule them out.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The Bucks. I'm representing the Bucks fans here.
Living in Central Florida, are you a college football fan as well?
Not so much. You know, because I'm in Tampa, I'm kind of like a man without a home. There's USF, but they had that one good year back in what, 06, that where they were number 2 in the nation. Yeah. I'm not really a huge Gators fan or a FSU fan. It's just kind of like, I'm a man without a home.
Well, look, you have such a fantastic NFL team that how can you even spare any emotions for?
Exactly. Yeah. I can't look away from this amazing team that's in my own backyard. Why would you? So.
All right. Well, anyways, thanks a lot, Kyle Appleyard, Tampa Bay Bucks fan. Good luck this season, and we will see how it turns out for you.
Hey, cool. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for coming. Once again, this is Alexander Chester and Keith Wienerker, 32 fans in 32 days. That was Kyle with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and that means that tomorrow we will have the 29th ranked Oakland Raiders featuring Jaden Watts. Thanks a lot.